This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
If you're feeling sluggish or tired, you need to get some Cardomax Energy Intensifier ASAP. Get that firing through your blood system today at Cardomax.com. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, Cardomax Energy Intensifier will get you where you need to be this afternoon. Go to Cardomax.com, use the promo code DB for 30% off your next four orders at Cardomax.com. Cardomax.com, helping you achieve your max.
Well, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. We got a new champion. Dan, got a new champion of Afghanistan. And now, the undisputed champion of Afghanistan, the Taliban!
So CNN ran an article today, and this is the title.
Excuse me. Yeah, no. But by all means, clear your throats before you read this.
It says, who are the Taliban and how do they take control of Afghanistan so swiftly? Are you fucking kidding me? I know it's been 20 years, but goddamn, man. It's not like they just fucking disappeared the whole time.
Oh, boy. That was fast. That was fast, Dan.
Yeah. $88 billion spent training Afghans and 20 years spent training Afghans, and it took about 12 seconds for them to all surrender. And I mean, but that's what happens though when you create a vacuum. It's like a siphon. It's like siphoning gas out of a gas tank. Once the flow is started, people start retreating. It's called a rout in military terminology, when whichever force on whichever side decides at some point, and it's like group psychology, the group decides like, we can't win this fight, and we're not going to risk any more of our lives for it. I mean, to be honest, if you're an Afghan fighter, whichever side you're on, things don't change too much for you no matter who wins this fight. Mm-hmm. If America wins, you're still a male military guy in Afghanistan. If the Taliban wins, you're still sitting pretty good, frankly.
So, because you were there,
obviously. I was never in Afghanistan.
No, but I just overseas in general. A lot of the sentiment that's we've gotten from a lot of our military listeners today has been, what was the last 20 years for?
Nothing. It was for the military industrial complex to make a bunch of money. I mean, fucking Jesus Christ, man. All these Raytheon and General Dynamics and Halliburton and Lockheed and Boeing, they all made a fuck ton of money. That's what it was about. And that's why we didn't win, to be honest. We got dragged kicking and screaming into both world wars. You know, the Second World War, we were delivering supplies to the UK and shit, but we didn't get involved until Japan fucking bombed Pearl Harbor. So this time, we initiated the conflict. Whether you want to admit that or not, 9/11 wasn't perpetrated by the countries of Afghanistan, and certainly not Iraq. You know what I mean?
Right.
We could have wiped out the Taliban just doing the same thing we were doing in Operation Anaconda, which is having special operators fucking SOFLAM targets and drop bombs on them, right? And then do other kinetic operations, empower the Northern Alliance, a strategic partner with a lot of military clout that was already there, already had a foothold, and also owns the land and aren't white. You know, but we didn't do that. Ground troops, so on and so forth. Yeah. There's no point to any of this, is the answer.
Because we've had a lot of listeners also say, I'm not going to say their names because they're trying to do something right now, trying to get their interpreters out of there.
Yep.
And they're saying that those people will be the first to be wiped out by the Taliban. We've seen some images on Twitter already of people getting shot in mass graves who were helping out United States troops. Those guys, I mean, what happens to them? I mean, will they just keep going until they're wiped out?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, like, they are the most ruthless people on the planet. There's no, their religion isn't Islam, right? It is, our culture's better than yours, and we're going to establish that by force, right? I mean, it's like the reverse of the Crusades, essentially. And they're playing the long game. We always play the short game. People have no tolerance for that kind of stuff, and it's because, like I said, we had to be dragged kicking and screaming into the world wars because then we won those because they were, losing was not an option, mm-hmm. right? Like when your back is against the wall and liberty itself is being threatened, then you have no option but to win. And to these people, they felt like their liberty was being obstructed by some outside external force. You can make judgments about whose culture is superior, and there really is no question in my mind that Western culture is far superior to the Middle East. The Middle East is a fucking shithole, and the people that are in charge there are fucking immoral pieces of shit. No question about that. But that's not how they see it. And the fact that they see this as some kind of outside intrusion into their lives means that they're going to fight harder than us, and they're going to fight longer, and they're going to wait. And we weren't willing to do that because it's none of our fucking business. In a lot of ways. I mean, it's our business to protect anybody that needs protecting, but you can't fight a war for a country that is unwilling to fight for itself. It's like trying to get somebody into rehab that doesn't want to stop doing drugs.
Right.
That shit does not work.
Yeah.
They got to hit rock bottom first. Everybody has to go through their growing pains. And I see a lot of my friends posting about how they would like to go back over there and what they were fighting was to prevent that shit. And I agree with them. But that's unfortunately just not how reality works.
Right. Right. What's the worldview now of the United States pulling out of this? Because we can't go back, right? I mean, we're seeing the images come in of the people running towards the jets. There was even, we're not going to show it here, obviously, but there was even a couple guys falling off of a jet who were just trying to get out of the country. They appear to be just normal Afghani citizens.
Well, this is the same thing that we did to the Kurds in Iraq in 1991, right? I mean, we told those people, pick up arms and fight against Saddam and we'll have your back. They picked up arms, they started to fight, and we fucking left, right? Now, you can ask whether or not we should have been there in the first place. The answer is obviously no in this scenario, at least not in the force that we were, but I was of the opinion that we should have left a long time ago and that we should take the earliest opportunity to leave. I guess I thought it went without saying that we wouldn't just abandon all the people that helped us the whole time. But Joe Biden had other plans. I don't know who's actually in charge of the White House at this point.
And where is he? There's a rumor he's on vacation. I don't know where Kamala Harris is.
I mean, this is a fucking discussion that I grew tired of during the Bush administration. And then during the Obama administration, it was even worse. And goddamn, it was the worst I've ever seen it under Trump. Now, Biden did spend a lot of time hiding in a fucking basement throughout the fucking campaign even, which was kind of weird, right? I'd never seen anything like that before. But right now, the fact that people would say, oh, the president's on vacation while this is happening. Dude, there's no fucking vacation when you're president. An entire war room travels with them. Ask anybody that's served in Secret Service what it's like. It's like he's out there fucking, well, in most cases, I would say, it's not like he's out there like with his hands in his lap and a shawl over it, looking out into space. But with Biden, that might be true.
Right.
But he would be doing that even if he was in D.C.
Yeah, there's a jar full of Werther's on the desk.
Yeah, that dude's out to lunch entirely. Stop getting distracted by this other stupid bullshit. What's really happening is somebody else is controlling these decisions for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like the national security apparatus as it is would not allow somebody who is a mental defective like he is right now make decisions like that. So you have to ask yourself the question I always tell people to ask themselves, which is cui bono, who benefits from this? I don't know the answer yet, but I'm paying a lot of attention.
Yeah, because I'm looking at it now, and me personally, I'm shocked that this happened in seemingly 24 hours. Are you shocked, knowing what you know, having been over there? Because initially he had set a date for August 31st, which you and I both said on the show a few months ago when he said that. Why are you telling people the date that you're going to leave a country that doesn't make any sense?
Yeah, even Brad Pitt agrees.
Yeah.
Because he said it in that fucking movie. yeah, I don't know, man. It was really weird to do it that way. I mean, it's a problem of having a free press, I guess. It's one of the dangers of being in a society where everybody grabs the smallest piece of information they can that supports their own narrative and then runs with it. Because, you know, there's an amplifying effect where people start to believe that what people are saying about the facts are the facts themselves. Obviously, that's retarded, right? It's not true. So I understand how you would want to be with certain types of things that are hot button issues as transparent as you can be with the press, especially if you're the left, because they're pretty friendly to the left.
Yeah.
Not the last couple of days, though. Even CNN's like,
I've never seen it like this before.
It was like this before Bush. Before Bush, it didn't matter who you were, CNN would light your ass.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's not the case anymore, but they're doing anything they can to distract everybody from the fact that there's still a Cuomo on their payroll. Yeah. That's what I think. They're using this. This is an easy win for them.
That's all I kept thinking was, oh my God, you know the two people who are partying tonight is the fucking Cuomo brothers. I mean, this story couldn't have happened for them at a better time. And especially after Chris comes back from his long needed vacation, now he's going to be able to pop in there and only talk about Afghanistan. His brothers disappeared from the face of the earth at this point.
He did an interview the other day, didn't he?
No. Chris is gone.
On vacation. No, the other one.
Andrew. Yes, correct.
Is that his name, Andrew? I just call him
Andy.
Cunt.
Yeah. Well,
because he's a politician.
Call him whatever you want, but he's out of there. He did one exit interview, if you want to call it that, or a goodbye to the press. That was when he said, "I'm not perverted. I'm just Italian." But Chris was the one who took the long needed vacation. So said Mr. Zucker, the president of CNN.
Well, Zucker's a coward, too.
Yes, and he'll be out of there soon as well. Mm-hmm. I believe he's already announced his departure towards the end of the year already, so he'll be gone as well. But this couldn't have worked out better for these guys. Me personally, as an American citizen, I want Biden to come on TV and tell us what the fuck is going on and why this happened and why so soon and how quickly this has happened, because I was worried. I mean, it was breaking news now, but they're saying all U.S. personnel from the embassy was able to get out safely.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was worried about last night when I was looking at the images on TV, when they're getting the Chinooks in there trying to get everybody out of there, is whether or not our people got out in time. Why, if you knew you were going to leave, why weren't those people leaving sooner is what I don't get.
well, you know, the left has problems with reality, like big ones. What did Jen Psaki say on like Thursday last week? The Taliban's going to have to decide what its position or what its place in the international community is going to be. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
You're seeing their place in the international community right now. They're going town to town, house to house, and dragging women and children out, murdering them, murdering anybody that has not been on their side or won't pledge allegiance to them or anything else, until they have a completely autocratic dictatorship in Afghanistan. That's what their fucking plan is. It's North Korea, but in Arabic,
right,
motherfucker. So good luck. I mean, I don't know what the fuck you think is going to happen there. Frankly, I think we should do like we did in Fallujah. Let all these assholes pile back at it and just fucking assault through the entire country again and murder every single one of them.
Biden announced that he'll be addressing the nation at 2:45 Central Time today.
2:45 Central Time.
I'm sure he'll have a lot to say.
Boy, I can feel the Adderall right now.
What's really
going into him?
Yeah, he's getting B12 and Adderall shot directly into his dick, probably.
Yeah. Well, that's Weinstein style, dude.
I wonder. I mean, America's gonna have to figure out who it is here pretty soon. Like we're a teenager, and we've been in a toxic relationship, and we're in the process now where we're taking out of all of our toxicity on the next relationship, and we need to decide if we're going to heal and become a real country again, or if we're just going to become fucking crazy people who slash each other's tires. You know what I mean? I'm leaning towards the latter right now.
It's same. Cause like I'm reading these tweets, like Pelosi's tweet, if you can pop it up on screen here, is the craziest shit I ever read after this went down yesterday. She said, the president is to be commended for the clarity of purpose of his statement on Afghanistan and his action. The Taliban must know the world is watching its actions. We are concerned about reports regarding the Taliban's brutal treatment of all Afghans, especially women and girls. That's the most tone-deaf statement I think I've ever heard from a politician.
Well, she also said back in the day in 2011, if you don't recall, that we need to pass this bill so we can see what's in it about Obamacare. We all know how that turned out. Not great. This is, let's see, a great question. What happens if China goes into Afghanistan now? What happens is China won't have to go into Afghanistan. So the Taliban is now outfitted with 21st century weaponry and training. You're welcome. China will just do what they've done in North Korea. Like there are Chinese intelligence troops and special operators in North Korea, but primarily it's just that. It's a very limited exposure. They may do some of that in Afghanistan, but really you don't need to. You just have to incentivize the Taliban somehow, which is to say, here's money and weapons. We're not going to get involved in your internal politics at all. We just need your fucking space to run oil pipelines or whatever, manufacturing, whatever it is. So
A lot of people are calling this Joe Biden's Vietnam. I've seen that quote going around a lot. At some point, you've got to make the decision, I guess, to leave and pull the plug and say we fucking lost on this one.
Sure. I mean, Sagar said it best, I think, the other day. We're going to have him on the show at the end of this month. Or does anybody know what it is?
Which one?
Sagar and Yeti from...
Whatever the fuck. Yeah, towards the end of the month.
I think it's towards the end of this month, but... he said that the real story here is that U.S. military commanders and presidents and everybody else, politicians, have all lied about the readiness and capabilities of the Afghan National Army, obviously. And maybe it wasn't even the readiness or capability. Maybe it was just the will, because it didn't take very long for them to change clothes and go back to the old way, right? But again, there's no there was no incentive. What was the incentive for young men who have a pretty good position in life to fight for other people, right? That in a way, like, people don't very frequently fight to unsubjugate those who are subjugated to them. I mean, we saw it in the Civil War here, but even today there's debate about some of the stuff that went down there and some of the motivations. Sometimes people fight for pride. I don't think it's intrinsic to their culture. Like, what do you fight for? If you ask a random American service member why they joined the military, you're going to get a bunch of different answers. But if you get down to the point where they talk about why they fight, usually it is to protect my family. That's a very common answer you'll hear. Now, our idea of protecting our family is to make sure our family is safe and has liberty. Their idea of protecting their family is to make sure that their culture is unaffected by the West. Right? That's not a hard thing to figure out how that's going to go. As soon as we leave, they're going back, right? So maybe we go over there and fuck the Taliban up in 2001 and 2. Maybe we leave some advisors to try to make incremental change, but you're talking about one piece of change every 25 years. I mean, how long did it take from the beginning of the women's suffrage movement until women got to vote? About 100 years, right? How long did it take from the founding fathers, who by and large denounced the evils of slavery, for slavery to be ended, and then for Jim Crow to go out?
Right.
That's like 220 years, right? About 200 years, 220, yeah. Things take time. We don't have patience. So we have to make a fucking decision about what kind of country we're going to be. Are we going to be the kind of country that makes promises it can't keep? Are we going to be the kind of country that asks people to do things that we're not willing to do ourselves? Are we going to be the kind of country that turns its back on people getting annihilated because of our failure? The answer is obviously yes, right? So, and we should have known that the whole time. Like, this is, a lot of people are talking about, I see a lot of the military people and military meme pages posting about how we won the war, but the politicians lost it. That was a very common refrain in Afghanistan. And I think there's probably, or I'm sorry, in Vietnam, there's probably more truth to that in Vietnam. Right now, American service members allowed a lot of stuff to happen, especially in Afghanistan. The fucking Man Love Thursday shit that we like to make fun of all the time is a real cultural thing where orphan little boys get raped for fun.
By the way, the
that's a real thing.
And the New York Times finally did an article on it, by the way. It's the first time I've heard about it. But 3 days ago, they did an article about it and why it's so taboo to talk about it. Bob, if you can pull up that article from the New York Times.
There have been a number of people, including some special forces operators, who have taken those matters into their own hands and had their careers ended because of it.
Correct. And I believe the article focused on one of them who said, we were not allowed to talk about this. We were instructed not to talk about what actually goes on over there. Today, we're seeing the effects of what happens when the Taliban takes over. Businesses are painting over any female figures, all the female broadcast and journalism correspondents have been pulled off air locally on their television over there. This was the article I was talking about, Dan, right here.
Yeah, I've read it. That dude is a former special forces operator, right? Scroll down a little bit. His name is
Dan Quinn.
Yeah, Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
He was one of them. There's a number of those guys, though.
Yeah. But it's odd to me, in the last 3 days, they're finally, New York Times is finally reporting on this. CNN is finally reporting on what's going on over there. And then obviously everybody's pointing out the failure of this administration so far. And we're only about 7 months in, 6 months in at this point.
Right.
Any shot that he goes on today at 2:45 and says, look, this was a hard decision, but we've got to take the fucking L on this and then move on with our lives. Or does he say we're going to go back in and try to help these people out?
He's going to try to blame as much of this as he can on his predecessor, which is funny because this war started 20 years ago.
Yeah, he's been there for 47 years. He's his own predecessor at this point.
Yeah, he voted for this. He voted for Iraq, too.
Yeah.
Twice. Times. So, you know, I don't know what he's going to say, to be honest. If it's even coherent, I'll be surprised, because it rarely is with this guy. I'm really concerned about all the pictures I'm seeing, like the footage from the airport with people trying to grab on. I have a bunch of friends that are still over there trying to exfil people right now. They're doing kinetic operations to distract from places where people are getting exfil. There's all kinds of shit going on in Afghanistan right now. I just had somebody text me this morning asking if we had any pipelines available, because these people can't get into the areas now. The Taliban is finding out where these extraction points are and setting up perimeters around them, right, to try and capture these people as they're leaving town. So this isn't about control of Afghanistan. This is about retribution right now.
Oh, yeah.
Believe that shit.
And then the CNN reporter who's there, it's a female. There's a 10-second clip that is going around Twitter right now. Bob, if you can pull it up. She has now a burqa on her face, but...
Yeah, I saw it this morning.
It is. First of all, it is really goddamn brave of her to be in the fucking streets right now with
them. She's just standing there right there. Like,
it is fucking insane.
What she said was they're chanting death to America, but they're also being very friendly, which is, I think she said, it's just very bizarre.
It's very bizarre, yeah. This was her. Here's the before and after in the last 48 hours here of what she's now forced to do. So, I mean, Pelosi, when you're tweeting this shit about protecting women and everything else, I mean, this is a CNN reporter here. It's pretty goddamn clear what's going on.
Yeah, we need to have a very frank and honest conversation in our country about what it means, what liberty means, because you read all these quotes from the founding fathers about how if liberty doesn't apply to everyone, it doesn't apply to anyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are we defining everyone is a question I would ask. And I understand that people have different cultures and things like that. But when someone's culture is centered around the abuse of other people inside of that culture, I feel like that's a pretty noble cause to go defeat. And if I have to kill every single member of the Taliban for that to happen, I'm perfectly comfortable with that. And I think most people in the military would be comfortable with that as well. But people see that as nation building, whatever else. I think that an ideology that systematically victimizes women and children doesn't deserve to exist. And I think these people should be wiped off the fucking planet. I'm not talking about Afghans. I'm talking about the Taliban, fucking radical Islam, people that would force people to wear certain kinds of clothing, people who fucking commit honor. A woman gets raped and then they kill her because she's not a virgin anymore and she's not married.
Mm-hmm.
Those people need to fucking die.
Yeah.
The world is too small now. Maybe a million years ago, we could let the Middle East and China do its own thing. But now they want to come here and move here and bring that culture here. Fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
They got to fucking die. That's what I think.
And when you're talking about the world is too small, you're correct. Because of social media and everything else, it is right in your face. Mm. You can't avoid it. I mean, it's been trending number one on Twitter, obviously, for the last 48 hours. And the images are coming in pretty fucking quickly. And we never used to see this shit before, right? You even go back to, like, our father's era with Vietnam. You had to sit around the nightly news and watch the fucking shit to whatever select footage they showed to see some images of it, right?
Right.
And even then, like, our parents would say the same thing of, like, man, it was shocking to see what was going on. But it was a couple weeks later, whatever it was, you know? Mm. They didn't have live footage from what's going on. Now you're seeing this shit happen in real time. You're seeing these people fall off this the C-17 here midair in real fucking time. Wall Street Journal has published an article that says American surrender. Biden, known for empathy, takes cold-eyed approach. 20-year mission collapses in single day. The media is completely turned on the left, and that is something that I have not seen in, years.
Well, that's because their back-end data is telling them to. Let's be real about that. They never had any allegiance to the left versus the right or anything like that. They're just trying to get clicks. That's it. And if talking shit about Biden now gets them clicks, that's what they'll do.
Right.
The question is, who becomes the new hero? Because you can't just attack all the time. You've also got to defend. That's what put Fox News in such a precarious situation during Trump, because half of their staff, while they disliked the left entirely, weren't huge fans of Trump, right? So they weren't taking full advantage of that market. And to their credit, in some cases, I mean, anybody that was on Fox that was talking shit about Trump, and you start to see it at the end, Trump starts to lash back out at them. There was a price to pay for that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Fox is just as fucked up as everybody else. I'm just saying. The Pooh says, do I think the Secretary of Defense, DNI, which is the Director of National Intelligence, and the CIA chief, should take a fall for this? I mean, look, ultimately, they can't make the president do anything. They can advise him. Although, back to my earlier comment, I don't know who's in charge there.
I don't either.
Honestly, don't know who's in charge there. So everyone is accountable for this. The fact that the intelligence community clearly advised the president. I mean, you saw Biden on TV 3 months ago. If we just pull out of Afghanistan, won't the Taliban just take back over? He goes, no, they're well-trained and blah, blah, blah. Joe Biden doesn't know a well-trained person from a hole in the ground. So somebody with some position of authority that he and his administration and staff respected told him that that was the case, and they fucking lied to him, obviously.
Yeah.
So Biden is a piece of shit. We all know that. He's fucking sold out people before. This wouldn't be the first time. He's also a total hypocrite. So I'm not surprised. I'm not trying to take any of the weight off him. I'm just saying we've all got an equal share in this, to be frank. All these military people that are so fucking juiced up to blame everybody else and say we won the war and the politicians lost it. Where the fuck were we at when women and children were getting brutalized in front of our faces and we didn't do shit because we were worried about our own military career? Where were we when that happened? I mean, I've gotten about a fucking 100 DMs in the last 2 days of people saying, hey, we called that shit up and we're told to stand down over and over and over again. So I understand it from the position of sergeants and privates, but where were the fucking commanders? Where were the majors? Where were the colonels? Where were the generals who would say, you know what? Fuck this shit. This is not great. And if you run it up the chain and the Joint Chiefs say, no, ignore the child rape in Afghanistan. That's their culture. It's not our problem. Then you go to the fucking press and you lose your career and maybe you fucking go to jail.
Yeah.
Right. But somebody's got to stand between children and rape at some point. And we didn't do it. We worked with these assholes for fucking 20 years. And I don't know why we expected a bunch of fucking systematic child rapists to all of a sudden turn over a new leaf and become good people. These people are fucking shit.
I'm going to read Biden's quote here that we posted on Drinking Bros podcast on Instagram this morning. This is his exact quote from July 8th. There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of an embassy of the United States from Afghanistan. The likelihood there's going to be the Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country is highly unlikely. That is exactly what has happened yesterday. A lot of people are also saying, you know, this just gives Republicans more fuel for 2022. In these midterm elections.
Well, only if people haven't been paying attention the last 20 years.
I don't think they have.
No, clearly not. Well,
I
people,
don't think they have.
They were paying attention then, but that's just part of their random access memory and once they restart their computer every day.
Once something goes on this long for 20 years, right, you kind of become numb to it. And
well, that's what
it just goes on in the background.
That's what gaslighting is like, though. You fucking get somebody all tuned up on something and then get... You try to pretend like you're taking the moral high ground when they get mad. Like, no, dude, you've been fucking talking shit this whole time.
Yeah.
I'm getting mad because you're being an asshole. Unfortunately, people have very short memories in this country. I think you have to because our political system is so fucked up that if you don't have a short memory, then you'll just blow your brains out, to be honest. I think it's a defense mechanism, like amnesia after like some traumatic event. That's what it seems to be to me.
Zach Geary is saying, Dan, I've got your next master switch. It's called The Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept on Brigadier General Robert Spalding.
Mm. I'll read that.
Yeah, we'll check that out for sure.
Also, we'll get General Spalding on the show, too.
Is that possible?
Mm?
That'd be great.
Through Christ, all things are possible. Yeah. So jot that down.
You know, according to the honorable... Elijah Muhammad. No, fucking amen. What happens now going forward? Do we just bounce and never go back and that's it?
I don't know. I mean, what I kind of think is going to happen is that the Taliban will exert control for a period of time and then some organic resistance movement will spring up inside of the country itself and then we'll get reinvolved. In the same way that we did in Vietnam, right? Which is to say, sending advisors, equipment, so on and so forth to do that. And then there's something called mission creep that happens where you just keep, like, well, if we only had this many more people, we could win this thing. And you just keep making that decision over and over and over again until there's 150,000 people in Iraq and no fucking joy, right? I mean, it's the same shit we do all the time. Although this time I could see, I do see a moral outrage from the men and women who served over there and have friends that are still over there. I think that there's a good possibility that when some organic resistance pops up to the Taliban over there, you're going to see some of the same stuff you saw in Iraq, which is that regular American citizens that have never fought, veterans, et cetera, going through the State Department or otherwise to go over there and fight with the Afghan resistance in the same way that people did that with the Peshmerga for years. And they're still doing that, actually, against ISIS. That's what I think is going to happen. There's going to be a lot of white Americans spending their own money to go back to Afghanistan to try to fix this problem.
How many are there? I mean, do we even know a number of how many Taliban were left?
About 90,000, I think. Something like that was the estimate, 85 or 90,000, rather. Quite a few more Afghan troops, I think something like 400,000 or 500,000.
Okay.
But that doesn't really matter. I mean, remember that scene in 300 where the fucking Greeks show up and he's like, you only brought 30 or 300 soldiers? He's mm-hmm. like, what the fuck? He goes, well, how many soldiers do you bring? He's like, oh, well, these people. He's like, well, what do you do? I'm a farmer. What do you do? I'm a mason. And Spartan, what do? They're all yell. Like, it seems like I brought more soldiers than you. These people give a fuck about winning.
Yeah.
The Afghan army doesn't give a shit about that. They care about survival. That's not the same thing.
So 400,000, 300,000 to 400,000, give or take, versus 88,000 or 90,000.
Right.
Are they just simply not trained well enough, or they just simply don't have the will to fight?
I'm sure it's a little bit of both. I mean, the training provided to them is second to none. It's the best training in the world. But their ability to absorb it, probably, because there's no recourse. So if you go to boot camp in the U.S., now it's a lot softer than it used to be, but even today, if you go in there and fuck around and act like an idiot, you're going to get in trouble. Like, you can go to fucking jail for a lot of stuff after you sign that contract. If you show up to the Afghan National Army, like, hey, I want to fucking do this, as soon as somebody figures out you're a turd, it's like, hey, go back fucking home, dum-dum.
Right.
Right? There's no consequence. It's like when Cortez burned the ships. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's no going back. You put your fucking people's back to the wall. You tell them that this is an imminent threat. And that's the problem. We went into these wars and there was no imminent threat to us. Not from Iraq, not from Afghanistan. And people don't fight the same way when that's the case. And when I say people, I don't mean the soldiers on the ground. I mean the fucking people that really matter, which is at home. Because you can't go and fight a war like that unless the entire country is behind you. Everybody in America wanted us to crush the Nazis, right? Most people, I think, at this point in America were like, why the fuck are we still over there? There's a huge difference between those two attitudes, going back and forth and going on missions that you know don't matter. And when it reaches the level, like, ultimately everything comes down to two men on the ground shooting each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if one of those guys is like, this is stupid, I'm not doing this anymore, and leaves, then the person who remains is the victor by default. And that's what we're seeing here. The Taliban isn't sweeping through in major gunfights. They're fucking showing up in town and everybody's leaving. That is not the same thing. That means those people didn't want to fight in the first place. So,
because the other part about this is, as the days go by, we're going to start seeing these images roll in over and over and over again. There's going to be a certain point where people aren't going to be able to turn their heads on this, because you and I both know this is going to end horrifically.
Yes.
Right now, I know CNN is saying that the top of their feed right now is saying fear and silence in Taliban's wake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first 48 hours are going to be shocking. And then once everything is like, oh, shit, nobody's coming. And it's just us.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they're in a fucking meat grinder right now. We got to figure out what we're going to do. Are we going to jam some shit down in the meat grinder and stop it and pull out what we can? Or are we going to let the meat grinder go until it runs out of battery and then show up and try and do something then? I could see either one, to be honest. I mean, I understand the position of Americans who don't want to get involved in this anymore and don't want to be involved. I understand the idea of, hey, you got to work this shit out on your own. And we see evidence for that kind of shit, because if they're not going to fight for themselves, there's nothing we can do, like the druggy statement I made earlier. Or are we going to fucking go over there and kill every single one of these motherfuckers that thinks that it's okay to subjugate and murder women and children because it is their culture? I'm fine with either solution, frankly. But we definitely lost this war because we didn't make a decision at all. We just stood there with our hands in our pockets. Then when shit got tough, we fucking left.
Yeah. And all of this shit is pouring in now. So you're able to look at like a Twitter feed, just kind of, constantly updating of what's going on over there. It is extremely eerie right now, to say the least. Most of these streets are empty. A lot of these shops here, that they're painting over with female images on them. Others are questioning whether or not they're allowed to open based on their religion or some form of allegiance to the Taliban. What happens next? Because they're in there. They're inside the president has left the nation. He's fled. Ghani, I believe his last name is.
He's
left and fled the nation completely. He said it's to avoid more bloodshed. But now that they're inside and they have full control.
What he means by that is to avoid my bloodshed.
Correct.
Not more, just my bloodshed. Fucking cunt.
But do they establish a government? What was in there before in
Afghanistan? The Taliban. From 96 to 2001, the Taliban ran that country.
Right. And how do they do it? Was there a president, a vice president, or was it just...
They don't really do that. It wasn't really even a prime minister. They just had a leader of the party.
Okay.
Basically. So it would be more like... I mean, technically, I guess not technically, Bashar al-Assad is the president of Syria. But and like in most, excuse me, Western parliamentary systems, the leader of the party that gets voted in is the president, prime minister, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. That's the case here. Whomever happens to be in control there. But remember, it's the Taliban, right?
So yeah.
If somebody showed up tomorrow, blew that dude's brains out and disassumed control, that's how it goes, right?
Right.
I mean, there's not going to be... Amnesty International isn't going to show up and demand elections in Afghanistan. They'll do it from the UN, safety of the UN, but they're not going to fucking, there's no apparatus to go into Afghanistan and be like, hey, you guys shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it just is what it is, right?
Because the guy that's in there now is saying that he was in Guantanamo and that he was released, you know, under Obama after spending 5 years in jail. And now he is the leader of this party, if you want to call it that. I don't even know what effect that has on what you're going to do or continue to do. How did we work with them in the first place? I mean, does Biden reach out to this guy now and say, hey?
With the Taliban, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
how does that work?
Has everybody forgotten that Trump invited the leader of the Taliban to Camp David?
No.
Like in 2018?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What, do we fucking forget about that shit?
No. I remember. But that's my point. Is that what you do in a situation like this? Because I don't know. And I'm asking out of ignorance here.
Yeah, I mean, what I would do if I was the U.S. government is invite their staff over here and I would execute every single one of them on live television. Right? And then be like, what are you going to do, Afghanistan? Fuck you.
Right.
Why not? What are they going to do? Get on boats and come over here or fly our own planes? Sorry, we got GPS on those, dude. We'll shoot those down. I think, whenever you're given the opportunity, you should kill those people. Anybody in the Taliban. I think there used to be I can't remember what the principle was called, but it was a Roman principle. It was part of Roman law, actually, where if someone did harm to a Roman citizen, then it was every Roman citizen's duty or every patron of Rome to kill that person on sight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, for instance, you had murdered a Roman citizen and you were a Gaul or something like that, or even another Roman citizen maybe, but in most cases you were some foreigner, you were a Gaul. I'm a Roman citizen. If I see you out in the fucking field somewhere or on the road and I know who you are, I have to kill you. Otherwise, now I get a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to start something like that for the Taliban. If you see one of these people around, just fucking murder them. For free. Right? No charges. Like a doe tag.
Yeah.
Except for you don't have to buy them. You just, you know, can download one on the internet.
Seems strange to interrupt an episode like this, but look, kids, we got some sponsors who pay for the show to be on the air, and we are unbelievably grateful to them. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinking bros. I think that 40% off flash sale is still rocking. So if you get the adjustable base and a mattress, you're going to get 40% off. Or you can use the promo code Drinking Bros and get 30% off a new mattress, pillow, sheets, adjustable bases, anything, you name it. Also, if you get the mattress, you're getting two free pillows right now. And I can promise you, those cooling pillows are just as good as the goddamn mattress. My God, I love ghostbed.com/drinking bros. As always, they've got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there. Zero down. Zero interest. If you have decent credit, so you could walk out of there with a full bedroom set for like $35 to $38 a month, kids, because you can bundle in all those deals that I mentioned a minute ago right into that and still do the pay-as-you-go program per month, which is amazing. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today and check out damn deals. Next up, we've got Decked. Decked is the best drawer system for your truck that one could possibly get. Go to Decked, DECKED.com/drinkingbros, and you're going to get free shipping on that. The reason why that's a big deal is these are heavy. What would you say, Nick? These weigh about 175, 200 pounds. The shipping on that is probably in the $400 to $500 area, I would imagine, for something like that. Now they're going to give you free shipping. Typically, Deck doesn't have to give you any deals whatsoever because they just have the most superior product there is if you have a pickup truck in this life. And let's face it, we're in Texas down here. We've all got pickup trucks. I know Dan's personal one isn't, but the company car is. God damn it, we got pickup trucks all around here. So if you own a truck and you know what it's like to have your stuff rattling around the back of the cab or under the seats, it's a pain in the ass to keep it organized. Not only that, but everything you put in your truck bed is unsecured and exposed to the elements. And that's why for our trucks, we've all got this Decked drawer system. It is the very best tools you can put in there. Everything you could imagine. The locks are simple and easy. It'll keep everything safe and secure. Not only that, but they're attractive looking. So let's say you spend a bunch of money on one of these huge pickup trucks, which everybody does in Texas. These deck systems look amazing in the bed of your pickup truck. So if you're looking to make organizing and accessing and protecting and securing everything more easier, you got to go to Decked. And they got the two, they've got the full bed length drawers. I think we have both. We have the two on one truck, and then we've got the full bed length drawers on the other. And those can carry up to 200 pounds of whatever. Decked has a true 2,000 pound payload capacity load floor. The drawers slide in underneath the load floor, plus they're weatherproof always. So, you know, they keep that shiny exterior, even though it's raining and it doesn't matter how many times, to be honest with you. They offer a full line of segmented storage, organizational accessories like various toolboxes, bags, cargo tie downs, you name it. And the Decked drawer system is 100% made in the USA, backed by a 3-year no hassle warranty with a second to none customer service team ready to answer all your questions. Get your Decked drawer system at decked.com/drinkingbros and get free shipping. That's decked.com/drinkingbros for free shipping on your Decked drawer system. decked.com/drinkingbros. Last but not least, purejerkyco.com. That is purejerkyco.com. Best jerky we've ever had in our entire lives. Look, Dan and I made this promise last week. If you try it and you've had a better jerky in this life, you can slap us in the face. The only thing we ask, obviously, is that you give us whatever jerky that is. Good luck. Right now, a bunch of people have been writing in. They're like, hey, dude, you win. That was the best jerky I've ever had. Yes, we know. Otherwise, we wouldn't have tried to partner up with them. This is a local Austin, Texas company. And truthfully, it was sent into the show by a friend, and it was the greatest jerky we've ever had. And we're like, hey, dude, let's try to partner up with these guys. This is the very best. They've got subscriptions. They've got 4 bags for 20-something bucks, 25 bucks, 8 for like 50. And they got the box. The box that's sitting on my desk that's burned into the wood, that's like 70 bucks, dude. You can get endless jerky and a subscription there. I tell you what, just try the 4-pack if you want. If it's not the best jerky you've ever had, just mix and match the flavors. If it's not the best jerky you've ever had, I will let you slap me in the face when you see me in public. I promise you that, but I got to know which jerky beat it. Go to purejerkyco.com, purejerkyco.com, promo code Drinking Bros, 10% off at purejerkyco.com. Let's see here.
And yeah. Shoot that piece of shit and staple it to his fucking face.
I'm looking at it now. They're calling him a political chief, Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar. I'm sure I pronounced that correctly because I always pronounce everyone's name correctly on the show.
Yeah.
He's the one that claimed victory, says, we've reached a victory that wasn't expected. We should show humility in front of Allah. He said, visibly surprised by the lightning speed of Kabul's fall here.
Allah can suck my dick, by the way. Can somebody find me a picture of Allah right quick, and we'll put it up on the, or Muhammad or whatever, we'll put it up on the screen. All of you motherfuckers could suck my dick. Just so we're clear about that. If there's some fucking, let's see, 1400-ish year old empirical statement about the nature of the universe that is demonstrably, easily demonstrably untrue, right? And you're organizing your entire life around that and doing so to such a degree that you kill women, children, and anybody that disagrees with you because of it, you got to die, right? There's a difference. People try to talk about this fucking moral relativism, like, hey, that's just their culture. Some people do this. No. If you victimize other people systematically, you got to go. That's how I feel. And that should be the standard. There's no fucking religion or culture that is above that standard, right? We judge it by that. You know what's right or wrong. That's why when people read the fucking Bible or read the Quran or read whatever else, whatever religious text they read, they know what's right and wrong already. They apply what they know about what's right and wrong from their lived experience, from what people have taught them about morality and what we've learned as a culture about morality, and you apply it to the Bible. Oh, well, those were just those days. That doesn't count anymore. You make qualifying statements like that about these old-ass books all the time, right? Because you know what's right and wrong. So there's no fucking version of a religion or culture that's just gotten it all right or wrong. Right and wrong is the standard. Not Western culture, not Eastern, not Middle Eastern, not religious or irreligious. Right is right, and fucking wrong is wrong. We all know what it is. We've chosen to fucking delude ourselves into thinking we fucking don't. It's absolute nonsense.
He goes on to say, now it's time to test and prove, now that we have to show that we can serve our nation and ensure security and comfort of life. I don't even know what the fuck that means.
Wes Jordan says...
He said, it says here that he's a moderate face of the hardline Islamist group.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And is now
fiery, but mostly peaceful protest. That's what that sounds like to me.
Yeah. And now he's saying is likely to return to power after his 20-year exile.
Oh, good for
him. I'm sure after 20 years, he's going to be fine. He's a kind and gentler person.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Wes Jordan asked, despite, well, hold on. Preston says, if I didn't go to Afghanistan, when and where were you in Iraq? I was in Sadr City from early 2007 until March or so of 2008 with Jared. First Special Forces group was there because Bert was there a little bit. Who else? I don't remember who ripped us. I don't remember the unit that ripped us. But anyways, yeah, we took over a place in the city right next to that. Wes Jordan asks, despite the disaster withdrawal deal, support us leaving the country moving on, or are we meant to be there indefinitely? No, I definitely support withdrawal. But I would have supported it in 2004, to be honest. I mean, this is the problem. We go into a war. When we went into the fucking, into World War II, there was one mission, annihilate Nazis.
Right.
Right? And our mission in Iraq and Afghanistan was to help the population and build an army within it. That's the Marshall Plan. That happens after the goddamn war. You got to win the fucking war first. You can't do these two things concurrently. You can't build a nation and fight for it at the same goddamn time. Doesn't work that way. So we should have annihilated every single one of these motherfuckers and then moved on with whomever was left, like we did with the Marshall Plan in Germany and fucking Italy, mm-hmm, and Spain and a number of other countries. Let's see, what else?
A lot of people are talking about Mike Pompeo in the September 2020 meeting where he held talks. Obviously, Mike Pompeo was the U.S. Secretary of State, who was hoping for a dignified U.S. exit. That's the other thing that you have to ask yourself today is, how do you get out of these wars?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what Wes Jordan was asking. Like, how do you
leave without a bad loss? Because this now it's terrible.
Well, in an ethical way. I mean, yeah. The way you do it is you remove everybody out of that country that wants to be removed out of it. Right. Mm-hmm. You send however many forces you have to build a perimeter around that stuff, around the exit points, and you get as many people out as you can. You certainly don't fucking hightail it the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
That's what cowards do, and that's apparently what we are now.
There's also images here of Turkey building walls so that citizens from Afghanistan don't try to enter their country. Because that's another one. People are going to start fleeing the country.
Yeah. Pakistan is going to rue the day. Like, they fucked this up way worse than we did. Because we can just leave, and there's a stain on our moral conscience now.
Yeah.
But Pakistan's right there. And this is what happened when Russia attacked them back in the day. There were 4 million people in a fucking, you've seen it in Charlie Wilson's War, like a, mm-hmm. a kind of what that might look like. But right across the border into Pakistan, there were 4 million Afghans just fucking there forever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they thought was going to happen here. Yeah, it's weird. I think the Wahhabists and Salafis don't deserve to live. I have no problem with executing every single goddamn one of them. As far as, I think Pompeo's making the same point that West Jordan's kind of getting towards here in the chat, which is that there was a way to do this that didn't involve sacrificing the lives of everybody we fucking work with over there. Because I'm seeing person after person, my friends in the intelligence community, my friends in special forces and conventional forces, posting pictures of people like, hey, we fucking worked with these people over there and made commitments to them and they helped us out and now they're dead.
Yeah.
And that's, we got to live with that now. Hopefully we'll learn something from it, but.
Doubtful. Do we ever in these situations?
No.
So why would we expect anything different now? The only thing that
Well, we just have to change who we is. We, the political elites, the aristocrats, I guess, if you want to call it that, the aristocracy in America, the people, the 60 families that was referred to back in the 1930s, all of these fucking people cannot be we anymore. When we say we, we're talking about America, and unfortunately, we leave that up to everybody else because we didn't want to get involved or it seemed too much or whatever. But... You know, if you want to live in the kind of world you want to live in, you got to pay for it. You're going to pay in money, time, blood, patience sometimes. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't get it. Maybe it's your grandchildren that get it. Who knows? But we don't have that kind of commitment here. We got Hot Pockets and iPads. That's what we got.
And the new iPhones are coming out soon, Dan. Mm-hmm. So that'll all be forgotten right around
and
September.
And I'll get one, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all I'll definitely get one. I just don't think that we need to live in a world where you have to choose between having nice things and being kind to people. It's demonstrably untrue. As a matter of fact, you can see it in microcosms all throughout the U.S. economy. Similar companies, one which treats and pays its employees better, profit more than those who don't, right? As a whole. And we see that in the, if you compare Target to Walmart, for example, Target makes, they pay their people way better than Walmart. They advance better, they hire from within more frequently. They have better benefits, and Target makes, on average, 6 times more dollars per employee than Walmart does.
Right.
And it's 2 of the biggest companies in the entire goddamn country. So the epicenter of capitalism on Earth, right? And you have 2 competing companies. The one that treats its employees better, for no reason, probably other than that, is doing 6 times better. Maybe not in volume, but certainly in efficiency. You can do all that stuff.
Yeah.
You can do both. And yeah. And we've lied to ourselves and told ourselves that we can't do both because it's hard to do both. Yeah. It's difficult. So what are you going to do?
Looking back at it now, right? The last 20 years or shit. Let's say 30 going back to 91. Was any of this worth it? Should we have gotten involved in the Middle East?
91, bro. You got to go back to the British Iranian Oil Company in the 1950s. Yeah. We've been involved for a while. The CIA helped overthrow a fucking a leader in Iran that had westernized the country for the most part and created a vacuum in which we allowed these religious radicals to take over Iran. Then, in the 70s, did it again. Trained the Mujahideen and then fucking bailed out on Afghanistan instead of helping. So we won that war. We beat the fucking Russians. And we had the opportunity back then to do the Marshall Plan like we did in Europe, and we didn't do it, right? And the Taliban came to power for, what, fucking 6-7 years?
Mm-hmm.
6 years? But they were in charge way before that in a lot of places. They were just officially the government then. So we had the opportunity to fix this shit, and we didn't, and maybe we're not capable of fixing it now. Maybe we just have to let it get back to that point again. Maybe we have to let somebody else attack them. Maybe we have to let China come in there, stay for 20 years, piss them off, and then go back and fix it the way we should have in the 1980s. Maybe.
And that's where I was going with this. Will they? Will China get in? Will Russia get involved? Does anyone get involved?
Russia's been involved the entire time, right? So that's nothing new. Russia needs that pipeline down to Europe still.
The oil?
That hasn't gone away. I mean, Europe is moving, I think, more quickly towards greenness than America is. But
yeah, a lot of
still, you need oil.
A lot of the countries, England, France, most of these guys are going all electric by.
Yeah, but that's 2030. This right here is oil. Every plastic is made from oil. That's what it is. That's not going away. So
is there any shot anybody else gets involved in this and sends in troops?
No.
No.
Why?
Are we just done after today?
I really don't know. We'll see in about an hour and a half what Biden has to say, but I honestly don't expect to hear too much out of him. Yeah, Todd Welch says, President Carter's Secretary of State believed and went on record actually saying the Ayatollah Khomeini would be more of a Gandhi-type leader. He actually did say that in an interview one time. Whoopsie.
What would you do?
What would I do?
If you were Biden, what would you do? What would the move be?
Well, I mean, I don't like to speak from the position of somebody. I don't know what the fuck. I mean, look, that guy's retarded anyways. But if I was the president of this country, I wouldn't be the president of this country. No one would tolerate the things that I say.
Obviously.
So I don't know what to tell you about that. I mean, what I would say is, hey, let's have a vote. Country votes. Military votes count twice, I would say, because they're the ones that actually have to do the fighting. Let's vote. Are we going to let these people get annihilated, or are we going to go annihilate assholes? And whatever you decide, then we'll fucking do. That's what I would say.
Why don't we do that on more issues? Like that, because that's what I would like to see happen.
I have no idea. How much does it cost to run a federal election? Let's see.
It's a lot of fucking money. It's a lot of fucking money. A lot of people are asking for Dan to be president here. Not a prayer. One prayer.
But about $500 million to do that. But I mean, honestly, that's not that much.
No.
That's $18.35 per registered elector.
Yeah.
So I would be willing, as a citizen of this country, to put up $20 to vote on that. And if, you know, we came to the conclusion that we were going to go fight for these people, then I would go fight for them too. If that was our mission, if they told me, hey, we're going to go kill all these Taliban cunts, and you know, we're not going to stop until the last one of them is dead, I would be more than happy to help out with that. And to be honest, it wouldn't take very long, because if you have that kind of will and purpose, shit gets done pretty quickly, as we're seeing unfold live on television right now.
Right.
On a forest that's one-fifth the size of its enemy.
Are calling in airstrikes an option?
I mean, that's how we started the war in Afghanistan, right? It was mm-hmm. Operation Anaconda. If you haven't read that book, very, very good. Special Forces operators on hilltops who got up there by donkeys and agency guys using the Northern Alliance to identify targets and destroy them. It worked pretty well, actually. It's the only way we got conventional forces in there without having to conduct a full ground war. Then we stayed there, got to a ground war, right?
Right.
Smart guys. But yeah, it's definitely, here's the problem. Again, they have the will to win and we don't. So if we start bombing, like somebody mentioned earlier about letting everybody flood back into Kabul and then dropping a fucking bomb on it. Yeah, I mean, technically that would be the case, but if that was in any way indicated publicly, Rob is over there fighting his own war against the fly. If that were indicated publicly, they would just move every woman and child they could find into the city. And they would use that as a rallying cry to blah, blah, blah. No, we need to go face to face and execute every single one of these people. And there's no shortage of Americans and people from the UK and probably in Canada as well. They're perfectly willing to go kill somebody that's threatening to kill somebody else because of who they are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a pretty Western military trait to have these days.
It's a great question here in the chat. Somebody's asking, what is China's relationship with the Taliban? I don't know, actually. Do you?
China's relationship with the Taliban will be the same that it was, like I said before, with the North Koreans, right? Like, they don't want to get deeply involved in that shit. But when we were fighting in the Korean War, we were fighting Chinese soldiers. You know what I mean? It wasn't like we were fucking just fighting North Koreans or even whatever, right? Not too long ago, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi was hanging out with like over a dozen senior members of the Taliban, including Baradar, or however you say it, Ghani Baradar, mm-hmm. however you say his name. Yeah, man. I mean, that's they're gonna try to milk whatever resources they can out of that. China is very interested in cornering the global market on rare earth minerals, and there's a fuck ton in Afghanistan, quite a bit. Not nearly as much as there is in South America, but enough, right? And if we're not willing to go down there and mine South America and create pipelines, like I've mentioned a million times on this show, mm-hmm. then China's going to continue to dominate that market. The U.S. industry will suffer. Can't buy trucks, can't buy computers, can't buy fucking PlayStations. The economy needs people to buy stupid shit, right?
Right.
It justifies, it's a sign that we've progressed to the next level as a society, that we have time for leisure now, right? And that's how you create wealth over time, by being able to take usury and not just turn it into a home that you own, but turn it into equity in that home that you own, like actual dollars that it's worth that you can take out and go spend somewhere else. That is the essence of capitalism. And you can't do that if somebody else is fucking pinching your gonads there, brother. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, I look at it again. I'm just scrolling through the feed here of everything that's going on. Everybody's got a different opinion about it. The optics of it certainly look terrible for the United States,
yeah,
because it looks like a gigantic loss. You know, same with Vietnam in this one. And whether fair or not fair, Biden is going to be held accountable for this.
Mm-hmm. Biden is, it should be held accountable for the way this drawdown happened. For sure. Like he ultimately was the decision maker when it came to giving a expedited fucking exit date, mm-hmm. and then just pulling everybody out. I mean, Jesus Christ, that's how you get a prolapsed anus, man. You got anal beads in.
Yep.
And you have to slowly bloop, yeah. bloop, bloop. Everybody knows this.
You pull them out slow. Yeah, yeah.
If you yank them out, you're going to get a fucking pink sock. And right now, America's got a big old prolapsed butthole. So.
What if he just walks up to the podium today and just drops the anal beads and says, "Look, man, we got these ripped out today, and we're gonna have to take the L."
Well, he ripped them out of himself. That's the problem, right?
Yeah.
No. But yeah, this wasn't. It's funny, actually. As much as I dislike the guy, Crenshaw posted something this morning that was pretty funny. It was like, we were all told that one of his main selling points was Biden's fucking foreign policy acumen. Guess not.
Yeah.
Right. apparently he hasn't been good at anything he said he was going to be good at.
This is breaking news. French President Macron says Afghanistan must not be a sanctuary of terrorism again. What the fuck are you going to do about it? What is France going to do about it?
I don't know. Arrest people for protesting. People are protesting in France all over the place right now because of mask and lockdown mandates and vaccine mandates. So, you know, the world is complicated. there is a new Northern Alliance forming in Panjshir Valley right now. The Northern Alliance, for those of you who don't know, was a group of warlords that, obviously in the north of Afghanistan, that we originally worked with when we first went there. it was interesting. I guess the reports I heard from working with those guys, they certainly weren't religious zealots. They were just fucking Arabic hillbillies, basically. You know what I mean? They mm-hmm. have different values than everybody else. But you can see it in the United States. It didn't take very long for the South in the United States to become very comfortable with the fact that gay people just exist. Like a couple years.
Right.
People are like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Everybody's gay. Fuck. That would be how I would expect the Northern Alliance to handle shit like that. And I know a lot of these men. I mean, if you're walking around with a Black Rifle t-shirt on right now, there's a very good chance, I would say 80, 85% chance, that that t-shirt was made by an Afghan Special Forces operator. I don't know how many people know that or have seen the story about Wale Taslim on Black Coffee Rifle's or Coffee or Die.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the early It's Who We Are's that we did, I think, back in 2017 or 18. if you're walking around out there, like people say they know people. We fucking know these people, right? Jeff and Evan work with these dudes for fucking 10 years.
Yeah.
Over there doing stuff. Evan spent 3 total years of his life in Afghanistan working with these people. We know who they are. They care about the reason they came to work with us in the first place wasn't because they wanted power in Afghanistan instead of the Taliban having power. They came because they were like, I think a lot of people can just intrinsically feel what is right or wrong. And they can see that subjugating other people is wrong. And people who are thirsty for power will allow others to be subjugated as long as it's not them. And that's a problem. So if you see somebody standing around letting bad shit happen to other people, that person would 100% do that bad shit themselves, in my opinion.
Yeah. Wall Street Journal is blasting Biden for blaming Afghanistan crisis on Trump, and they're calling it a pathetic denial. Today's press conference is going to be real fucking interesting.
Everybody can take some blame in this nation. One. Yeah. Everybody can take some blame in this one. I think politicians do what politicians do. Military commanders, I say this all the time. I say it about Iraq as well. At some point, some military commander should have fucking said, hey, what's the fucking goal here, brother?
Yeah.
Right? Like, Petraeus tried his best. And we'll have him on the show at some point, too. I have ends with him.
Yeah.
Very, like, he did some stupid shit, but he's a very smart guy, and he understands how people think. That's his best quality. I don't think he would ever have been a fucking operator or anything, but that man understands how other people think. It's too bad that things went down the way they did, because I think he would have actually been a pretty decent leader in politics. But anyways, we didn't have a goal, and these military commanders didn't step up and say, I'm not going to give one more order to my people to go out and fucking fight for nothing. And I think the command in the military, the retired generals, the current generals, the current Secretary of Defense, who's got money in the fucking in the defense industry, by the way, in the stock market, in the defense industry, quite a bit of it, as a matter of fact, 500,000 shares. People like that built their careers and built wealth off the blood and sweat of American service members for no fucking reason other than that. Those are the people that I want to see held accountable.
I'd like to, Bob, to pull up a tweet from her name is Elizabeth Landers. So at least this source is not coming from us. It is coming from her. Apparently, the talking points have been leaked about what's going to happen in this. The White House talking points on the Afghanistan, the top line is, these are bullet points. The president was not willing to enter a third decade of conflict and surge in thousands of more troops to fight in a civil war that Afghanistan wouldn't fight for themselves.
Fair.
It's clear from the past few weeks that it would have been necessary for more troops for an indefinite amount of time.
Also correct.
The administration knew that there was a distinct possibility that Kabul would fall to the Taliban.
Well, they said the opposite. So that's just a lie then.
Yes.
Fair enough. At least they're admitting that they lied.
It was not an inevitability. It was a possibility, what they're saying.
Now they're hedging, but that's still a lie.
POTUS said in July that the Afghan military had the capability to fight the Taliban, but they had to demonstrate the will. Sadly, that will did not materialize. True or false on that?
I mean,
the will of the people of Afghanistan?
I get what he's saying, but what, he gave them a month to figure out if they had the will? What the fuck does that mean? That statement doesn't mean anything.
The administration planned for every possibility. We had the contingency plans in place for any eventuality, including a quick fall of Kabul. I don't even know if I'm saying that right, by the way. But
Kabul, yeah.
That's why we had troops pre-positioned in the region to deploy as they have done. Next up is we are focused on safely evacuating U.S. embassy personnel, American citizens, CIV applicants and their families, and targeted Afghans.
That's not true.
We have deployed 6,000 U.S. military to Afghanistan to secure the airports and ensure that those evacuation flights, as well as any commercial and charter flights, can safely depart.
This is like just fucking so endemic of America and the ego. So fucking stupid. What do we think? They can't see fucking planes coming in? people still have to travel from their homes to get to these places, and that's exactly what I'm hearing that's happening on the ground right now. The Taliban is setting up perimeters around any kind of evac point and just capturing or killing people to try to get by.
Yeah.
So we didn't have a fucking plan. We had a plan to get anybody out that was already there, our people, yeah, but not the fucking people that helped us. That's a fucking lie.
He's saying, according to this leak, that the indefinite war was and is unacceptable to the president. Chairman Miley and Secretary Austin are working to restore order at the airport so the flights can take place. Many have asked why we did not evacuate more Afghanistan civilians sooner. Part of the answer is that many did not want to leave earlier. Many Afghans to whom we gave visas to come to the U.S. chose to stay in their country, still hopeful.
Oh, boy. That is 100% a lie. I've seen nothing but from the people who actually know human beings that live in Afghanistan. I won't mention their names because they're still working on getting people out right now. But I've been talking to them nonstop for the past week, and every single one of them has people still over there that have been trying their best to get out. That's not fucking true. It's a complete fucking fabrication.
Next up, nearly 2,000 CIV applicants and their families are in the United States, and the administration is prepared to evacuate thousands of American citizens, those applicants and targeted Afghans, which they stated earlier. Was this an intelligence failure? The administration knew that there was a distinct possibility that it would fall to the Taliban. As far as intelligence goes, how did they not know? I'd like to have an answer for this one, actually. How did they not know that this would collapse within 24 to 48 hours?
Hubris, my man. It's always hubris. We think they're fucking simple. What is that quote from the guy in fucking Black Hawk Down? Don't think I'm simple because I grew up in a place without running water. Remember that quote from that guy? Fucking real. That's a real goddamn quote. These people are not fucking stupid. They knew exactly what the fucking U.S. was going to do. One, because we fucking told them. When and where, goddammit. You have to red cell this shit. You give the plan you have to a group of people who are intent on disproving it. Red cell. That's what we call that. And there's no way they sent this up the chain to one of these fucking think tank guys and they didn't say, won't the Taliban just create a perimeter around the fucking evac points? What's our plan for that? Right? Maybe before pulling our last bit of troops out, we fucking pull all our people out that have helped us over the years and their families. I got a text this morning. I'm trying to assist getting some ANSOF, Afghan National Special Operators, and their families out of Afghanistan. They're guys who graduated from West Point and returned to Afghanistan to help us out. So they were here and they went back to fight for us again. They're unable to get inside the perimeter to get on the jet that's been chartered for them. All the QRF guys on the ground say there's nothing they can do, blah, blah, blah. I've received probably fucking a dozen of those texts over the last 3 days.
Yeah, we've gotten a ton of messages in at the inbox. Next up here says, when Trump made the Doha agreement, there were 13,000 U.S. troops in Afghanistan. When Biden took office, Trump had drawn down troops to 2,500. It's clear from the past few weeks that would have been necessary.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it depends on what you mean by necessary. I say we stick around and get everybody we can out of there, and then necessary is up to them. I mean, there's going to be loss of life. Women and children are going to get murdered. People who don't want to leave or don't think they can, whatever the case is, you can't save everybody. But you didn't have a plan to save anybody, frankly. And that's why I think a lot of people are pissed off.
As far as their counterterrorism talking points today during this speech, one of them, again, these are all leaked, that says the United States faces terrorist threats in countries around the world, including Syria, Libya, and Yemen. We don't have boots on the ground in those countries. We have over-the-horizon counterterrorism capabilities, and that's what we'll do in Afghanistan, prevent, detect, and disrupt terrorism threats with over-the-horizon capabilities. What does that mean exactly?
That means they're going back to the Obama drone strike era, okay. Which, by the way, the most recent study I've seen suggests that about 60% of the people killed in drone strikes during the Obama administration were civilians. That's probably not a good idea. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't like how close, how big a role does proximity have to play in this whole situation? I'm asking genuinely, not rhetorically. If someone chooses to stay there, like if I'm going into a Fallujah in 2005, for example, and people are still in that city, mm-hmm. then fuck, man. I mean, you got to shoot them.
Yeah.
That's how it is. There might be some special dispensation for women and children. Obviously, there would be, because most of them there are illiterate. One, two, they're probably being forced to stay there. But if you're a man, 15 or older, in that area, when I'm coming through, you're fucking dead. And we have to do things like that, right? Yeah, there has to be a standard for which troops can. So I've said this shit before about muscle memory. When you're going into a room, I know that if I step into the room, if I'm the first guy through the room, I know that if I step in with my left foot, I'm going right. Unless it's a wall, then I'm going straight. And the next guy is going to go left. So I know if I'm the second guy, whichever way the first guy goes, I'm going the opposite way. I know that. I don't have to ever think about that. When every single time they get into a gunfight, the American service member has to think about all of this fucking weird amorphous bullshit about hearts and minds. No, fuck that shit. That's the enemy. Kill them. And if that's not the circumstance, then we shouldn't be there fighting.
Right.
If you can't identify clearly who the enemy is, then a conventional military force should not be present. Now, if you want to do special operations and go on and assassinate people on a regular basis, totally fine with that. Absolutely, we should be doing that shit on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, we'll probably see a lot of good movies and books come up out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But to send like a fucking grunt force to do this kind of work, it's stupid, man. It's like, I don't get it. I don't get it. We have no purpose here. What's the deal?
The last point here that's allegedly... I'm going to say that he'll be talking about today is we will hold the Taliban accountable if not allowing Al-Qaeda a safe haven. If they do, there will be consequences that will pursue. So, look, this was leaked from inside the White House, allegedly, from two sources here from the Speaker's office, and it was sent out around noon to a certain pool of reporters. We will find out, and we'll be watching along with the rest of the nation here at 2:45. Is that where it is? Central time, 3:45 Eastern. Last question here. Why not go on during prime time, during 8 o'clock, to make a speech like this? Typically, that's when any other president does these announcements.
Yeah, he's got to make his speech and give CNN and MSNBC time to figure out how they can make it make sense to the liberals primetime news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He has to give them time to be like, well, what actually meant was this, and here's why it's Trump's fault. So pay attention. When you watch the primetime news tonight, that's funny. People are saying he will be sleeping, it's past his bedtime, et cetera. You're probably right. He's at Perkins eating right now. But yeah, they have to give all of these mainstream media outlets time to process the information, to fact check shit he might say, and then fucking spin it in their direction. By the way, did you see that one of the founders of Snopes just got caught plagiarizing like over 50 articles? Independent fact checker. Fuck out of here.
Oh boy. Yeah. Crazy, crazy weekend, man. And shit. Look, now's the point in the show. We get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helps you become the person you are today. You can nominate your Drinking Bro of the Week at drinkingbros.com. We get some fun merch here. We're getting hats into the store. I got one of the new. Is this a test or are we going out with these?
This is a test, yeah. This is a FlexFit hat that's going to be available soon. I think the other hats are going live this week, though, right, Nick?
Nick is in his own world over there.
Yeah, he's listening to the show, so he's going to hear it in a minute.
We got some hats coming out this week, FlexFits and some fun shit.
Not the FlexFits yet, but the regular hats are coming out this week, right? Yeah, right. They'll go live today sometime. Yeah,
T-shirts are available and all that stuff. The Deep Fun Politicians T-shirts you see everybody wearing. Mm-hmm. Those were obviously Dan came up with those, and those are fucking selling out quickly.
Seems like a number of other people have come up with that same idea after the fact.
Strange.
But yeah, those will be live. Those hats will be live today. Stickers are live.
Mm-hmm.
Newer, larger stickers, including a sticker pack, stuff like that. A lot of cool stuff.
The Drinking Bro of the Week was submitted by Caleb. I hope this is genre. It'd be awesome if it was. That's a powerful last name. He spelled it G-E-N-R-E.
By the way, that Rogel guy.
Yeah.
That's how you say it.
It was Rogel. It wasn't Rogel?
Of course. No, it's not Rogel, you fucking imbecile.
Jesus Rogel's Christ. A power move, though.
I mean, Rogel would be funnier.
Rogel's, that's a hard name. Rogel. It's a porn name. That's a fucking killer's name. I was hoping it was Rogel. He is from North Dakota, and he's saying he's been a member, listener for 6 years. He's nominated Tony Sheen and Sean Ledbetter. Hey, Drinking Bros, long-time listener, been around since Matt started doing the operator videos. My nomination is for my high school best friends, Tony Sheen and Sean Ledbetter. We went to basic training together, and we were in the same units. They're still in and now deploying today to the Middle East amid the fall of Kabul. Wow. That's how fast these come in, by the way.
Yeah.
And they go right into our email, so we read them live on air, and we don't screen anything. That way, whatever we get, we can say live on air here. Stay safe, bros, and get back soon is what he's saying. Absolutely. There wasn't a more timely submission than that one today. So cheers to you, Caleb. And yes, hope your best friends from high school return safely. Maybe if they're deploying now, maybe that's part of that thing of putting 6,000 troops over there, right?
I have no idea.
We'll find out. Find out soon. I have a feeling it's going to be a busy week. We'll be with you every single day, as always, Monday through Friday on Drinking Bros. As always, go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, tune in to Drinking Bros Sports this afternoon for the Monday morning recap show. That always starts usually around 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And subscribe to Drinking Bros Sports as well. Fantasy football details today, as well as a special guest for the college football preview show. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. We are the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.